Today on Real Radio.
What have you done? Have you been so bad that he doesn't want you?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
I love you, but I don't care how you feel. I'm telling you, if you've really blown it, my friend, the last time I checked my Bible, it says that the big sinner gets to be forgiven big, and that big sinner who's been forgiven big loves big.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in a study, the title of which is quite controversial. Who is a real Christian? It's a continuation of our look through John chapter 15, and this time we'll be looking at verses 9 through 17. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
And one of the most basic things about fruit is that the branch hangs in there, the vine produces the fruit through the branch, and the fruit is out there. But I have never once, neither of you, have ever seen a branch look right and look left and then take a bite of the fruit. The fruit is for others to enjoy, is it not? In our lives, listen, this is tragic because here we should be talking as though we're at a coffee table, as friends in the faith, right? But someone's going to be offended with what I'm going to say next. But listen, it may be God convicting you. So don't panic, but rather rejoice that he is convicting you. Are others eating from your life? Are there others in this church or in the household of faith that are eating from your life? I mean that in a good way. I don't mean people eating on you. Yeah, Pastor, this guy next to me is eating on me. No, I don't mean that. Are others in this church dependent upon the nutrients spiritually that you produce? Are there people in this church that if you did not show up, or if you did not pray, or if you did not whatever, in your Christian discipleship, would they suffer? See, Jack, what are you asking that for? Because you know what? I am not going to get through this message without giving you what I live with every day. I live with this every day. It's a thought that came into my mind, I don't know, must have been shortly after I got saved. Does anybody need to eat of the fruit of my life? If nobody needs to eat of the fruit of your life, something's wrong. You may have fruit and God is saying, get it out there in the marketplace, will you? God may be working in your life and he wants what he's done with you to be out there for people to know. But who in the world or what in the world is a branch that has fruit hanging off of it and says, don't touch me. You can't even look at my fruit. Go away. Go. Just keep passing. No, the vine sees to it that the branches are up there so that the fruit is hanging so people walk by and say, look at that fruit. Man, I want some of that. And that's the first hook. Is that not called real true evangelism? Please don't take me wrong. What we're doing tonight at the Edison Stadium, 50 or 60,000 people tonight, it's a great deal. And people will get converted tonight. Why? Because the gospel is going to be preached. It will happen. I'll say this at least. Decisions will be made. Some yes, some no. That's for sure. But what's better than that? You want to know what the greatest evangelistic retention is in true Christian living? Is friendship evangelism. Neighborhood evangelism. Where your friends don't go to a crusade and have a momentary spike in excitement, though they may hear the word of God and get saved. That's awesome. I'm not disparaging that. What is the greatest form of evangelism is getting to know a Christian and finding out, you know what? I've seen you through thick and thin. You're for real. I'm ready now to accept what you have been telling me. I read a tragic book this week about a very famous Christian man. You'd know his name if I mentioned it. He's written tons of commentaries. And in the country that he was working and writing, it was, and it is still the custom today in that part of the world to have slaves. He had a slave. I say slave. He was really his secretary. But in that culture, they had to be called slaves. Took good care of him and all. But as this man worked on the translation of the Bible for that region of the world, that man never told that slave that he was a Christian. When they got done translating the New Testament, the slave said to him, "I would love to meet a Christian." And that man says, "Sir, I am a Christian." And that slave says, "You are not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Stop joking. From what I've read of this book, you shouldn't joke about that." And he says, "I'm not kidding. I'm a Christian." And he says, "Sir, you can't be a Christian." The man's laughing. They thought it was a joke. He says, "You can't be a Christian. This man's famous." He says, "You can't be a Christian because you've talked so ill about people that you know. In my ears, I know that Christians can't do that. I've read the book. Christians can't do that. And you know what? When your support check didn't come for the ministry, I remembered you saying bad things about the mission agency that sent you here. So you don't trust him, and you don't love your brothers. Someday, as I told you, I would love to meet a Christian." Can you imagine? The man spent 17 years translating the New Testament into a foreign language. He worked with the same slave secretary, and at the end of it all, couldn't convert the man who knew him the most. Oh, could that be us? What would our neighbors say? Don't even go for the door. You'll indict yourself. Don't move right now. Let the Spirit of God convict our hearts. Can we not apply ourselves more to Christ now that we are saved? We're going to heaven, you guys. Have we forgotten? We're going to heaven. Let's take as many people with us as possible. No, we're not perfect. And maybe it would have been different if that man would have said to that slave, "You know what, I'm not perfect, I fail, and I've asked God to forgive me." But that man never saw the deep private part of his Christianity. He saw the public complaining part, but that slave obviously never saw the private repentful part. Wouldn't it have been something to say, "You know, I'm not perfect." Many of us today might say to our friends or neighbors or relatives, "You know what, I've blown my witness with you, but I tell you something, I've confessed to God, he's faithful, look at me, I am nothing but a sinner who's been redeemed, but hallelujah, I've been redeemed." I think someone might say, "You know what, I can relate to what you just said, and this Christ who forgives you over and over again, that's the Jesus I want to." Can he, through our lives, live such a way that people are attracted to Christ? We live a scary life, we do as Christians. We've claimed to know the creator of the universe. What a lofty call. People expect things out of us. You know, if you like it or not, people expect things out of us. Jesus says in verse 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." That's key. Oh, you guys, the Father loves me, I love you. Oh, we have to get past verse 9, but it's going to be hard. "As the Father loved me." Can you mark that in your Bible? Do you have a highlighter or a pen, a pencil? Do you know what Jesus is saying? "As the Father loved me." We need to talk about this more. Because, you know, we're so bent on, and so we should be, "For God so loved the world." But wait a minute, "For God so loved his son." How much did God love his son? We can't even describe it. Okay, are you ready for your self-esteem boost right now? Good self-esteem leaves you from self-esteem to God esteem. That's the best. Are you ready? Want to make a quantum leap? Jesus says, "As much as my Father loves me, I love you." That's awesome. But you know what's wrong with us? Yeah, love. Of course, sure. God loves me. He has to. He's God. We're callous about it. It's like this in marriage. It's like this in family. "Love you, Dad." See, like with my daughters, here's the deal. And I'll page them on their pagers. And they got these code numbers. I don't get it. But I ask them, "How do I send I love you?" "Oh, you do this." "Okay." And then I got to put my number in and they know it's me. Well, it's funny because even on that paging system, it's "I love you." You know what we do? Because in our house, we'll say "love you" and "love you back." Well, now even on the pager, I've shortened to I love you, I'll send love you. Why? We treat it casually. I mean, that's okay. It's kind of cuddly, but it's casual. But with God, Jesus says, as the Father have loved me, I've loved you. And we don't often take that in because it's too grand. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. But here's what's important to us, is it not? When somebody says, and this is almost more powerful because we have butchered the definition of agape love, the love of God. When somebody says, I like you so much. I really like you. I like being with you. I like listening to you. I like to just hang out. I like to just be with you. Oh, your heart just goes crazy. It's almost more powerful today, isn't it? That when we say, you know what? Not only does God love you, not only does God love you, but he really likes you a lot. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, that's great. Because if you love me, you kind of got to be with me. But if you like me, that suggests that you're choosing to be with me. All of a sudden, this is very cool. God's agape love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And here's the deal. Don't wig out about this word commandments. The commandments, in this context, is to love God and love your neighbor. That's what he's talking about. You want to be a disciple? You want to abide in me? Here's the deal. Love God and love those that are around you. Love your neighbors. You do that, you don't have to worry about reading the law. Everything's covered. It's all taken care of. By the way, I want to encourage you saying the Father loves me so much, and I love you with that same love, that now, because that being the catalyst of your heart, that you're so loved. Hey, everybody, listen up. Have you ever been loved? Love makes you do wacko nutty things. Isn't it cool? Jesus says, I love you. And let me paraphrase. Let me do this, please. Jesus maybe would say, I love you, and that being true, such a huge love I have for you that you're going to go nutty because of that truth. You're just going to be a nut over the things of God. And you're going to want to love your neighbors. You're going to want to love God. You're going to want to abide. And with all that going on, I'm going to be behind the scenes with my love empowering you to keep abiding. I'm going to see to it. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. The joy. Listen, very quickly. The joy of God. Jesus says, I'm giving you my joy. Well, we saw earlier in John chapter 15, peace. Jesus says, I leave peace with you. Now he's saying joy, peace, joy. In a moment, he's going to talk about love. Guess what? The first three references to the fruit of the Spirit. Personally, I have this view. If you don't like it, then don't like it. It's fine. But when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's the word in the Greek is singular. It's not fruits of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I think that's the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's love. Then it goes on to say love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness. Those things flow out of love. You can't have peace. You can't have any of those things without love. If you know God loves you, you will have peace. You will have joy. No matter what's going on in this world. I think the fruit of the Spirit is love. And everything that comes out from that is listed in Galatians 5. Joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. And on the fruit, on the definition of the fruit goes. That all flows from love. And so Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. He gives it a joy that is not of this world. Verse 12, this is my commandment, singular, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh my, what does that mean? What did they know then? They could have said things like this. Okay, wait a minute. Jesus, just hang on a second right there. We're to love each other. I'm to love Peter the same way that you've loved me. Yes, Jesus would say. Peter goes, look at me. And then Jesus says, Peter, you're to love James the same way I've loved you, Peter. And Peter, if anybody knows about love. It's these people, because I've loved you even when you've been the goofiest. Yes, that's true, Lord. So here's the deal. I'm afraid that for some of us, we don't love others the way Christ loves us, because our perception of Christ's love for us is not very great. You can't give anything away that you do not possess. You're Christian, you're going to heaven, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you know what? You are still bound. Somehow, you are still bound by this bizarre, works-centered fellowship relationship with God. You think that when you blow it on some Tuesday afternoon in traffic, that now God has put you in the penalty box, and you've got to do some sort of penance to get out of that. That is evil, it is carnal, it's wrong. The Bible says if you confess your sin to Him, He's going to forgive you. And fellowship is not restored, it is maintained. We will all sin, but when we give that sin to God, He maintains fellowship with us. He doesn't cut us off. He doesn't cut us off or discipline us until we are walking in evil and we've gone out of His protective care, as it were. Then He pleads with us to come back to Him. Are you with me? Stop beating yourself like a good Muslim. I think Christians would make the most devoted Muslims. So what do you mean by that? When we sin, we've got this thing. We start flogging ourselves on our way to Mecca. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mecca. That's what we used to call it. That's a joke for those of you who know about Calvary Costa Mesa. We would just call it Costa Mecca because it's so huge. But the thing is, oh man, I've blown it. Stop talking about it. Don't tell your friends about it. Talk to God about it and get it out of your life. Would to God that we would start holding sin in our lives like a potato right out of the oven. You ever seen that happen? Oh, ha, yeah, man, and the way it goes. Think that. I should have brought a potato today and just did that with you as a mind picture thing. Treat sin like a potato. This, it's in my possession. It's hot. I don't want to get it out of here and throw the thing. Give it to Him. Stop living in a condemned Christian life. It's not God's will. What have you done? Have you been so bad that He doesn't want you?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
I love you, but I don't care how you feel. I'm telling you, if you've really blown it, my friend, the last time I checked my Bible, it says that the big sinner gets to be forgiven big, and that big sinner who's been forgiven big loves big. That's awesome. You see, only in Christ can you win for losing. Is that not great? He says, greater love, verse 13, has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Was he not about to do that? He was about to do that. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. See, if you know Christ, here's the whole mindset. Really? I'm your friend if I do whatever you command? Yes? Awesome. I know your nature. Go ahead and command. Give me a command. Lay one on me, Lord. Because you know that His commandments are not grievous and not burdensome, but they're wonderful. And you know what His command's going to be. Go love that guy. Go love that girl. Go love that body of believers. Are you guys with me? We're almost done. Are you okay? You're awful quiet. I don't like when you're quiet like that. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known to you. Do you understand what this means, you guys, everybody? Jesus is telling us, guess what? Oh man, you know, I got to do this without tears. I'm going to tell you up front, I can feel it happening now. And I've made a covenant with myself that I would not do this. But Jesus says, listen, let me read it slow. No longer do I call you servants. I can't call you servants anymore. For a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but I call you friends. For all things, look with it. Don't look at me. Look at it. For all things that I heard from who? My Father, I have made known to you. Son? Yes, Father. Don't call them servants anymore. Son? Yes, Father. I want you to go and tell them on just a few hours before you're going to be slaughtered on a cross. I want you to tell them that they're our friends now. And why does this touch me? Because you know what? I'm not running around saying, I'm a friend of God. Oh, I'm a friend of God, like he's gained something. Oh my, Gabriel says to the Lord, wow, Jack's your friend. You know, should we build like another throne? What can I give him? What if I tell, you know, America, George Bush is my friend? Big deal. But what if George Bush got on CNN and said, Jack's my friend? What if I walked to the White House and all the Secret Service is saying, get out of here before we shoot you. Get out of here. And there's a ring at the front gate. He's my friend. All of a sudden, hey, you guys, watch out. I'm his friend. You know, get out of my way. I'm his friend. You see, when God says, Jack's my friend, I say, Lord, how could you say that? I have been a jerk to you. I've been the worst to you. Yeah, but you know what, Jack? I remember a friend of mine who is now a friend of yours. He was quite a jerk. Blew it a lot. Lied a lot. He got into so much trouble. But you know what? I never think about that. I can only think about the fact that he's a friend of mine. And he became a friend of mine because he believed in me. Jack, do you believe in me? Yes, sir, Lord, I do believe in you. Yeah, yeah, you know what? I know you do. He believed in me the same way. By the way, his name was Abraham, a real jerk, who I declared righteous because he believed in me. And Jack, this is biblical theology that I'm trying to convince you of, that by faith, I declare you a friend of mine too. And you see, I know that you can't offer me anything, Jack, because you're of this world, you're of dust. But you know what? I've called you friend. And you may disagree with how you think about that. But I'm the one, Jack, calling you my friend. So I just ask you to accept that. Will you accept that? And so Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Do you hear that now? I chose you and appointed you. That means every one of us are ordained. That you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, giving us scriptural examples on how to tell true believers from false ones. Who is a real Christian is the title of this study. It's a look at John chapter 15 and verses 9 through 17. Actually, this is part two of this sub-series, and if you'd like to hear past broadcasts of Real Radio, you can log on to www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You'll be able to access past programs of Real Radio and become a podcast subscriber. That's realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation, so consider partnering with us. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you'd like to contact us by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, just remember that it can all be easily located on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.